This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
It's not often you get a judge saying, that's stupid. But you did with the... Yeah.
How many times do you think they want to say that?
I can only imagine what the judge in the Lori Vallow Daybell case has been thinking behind that one. But that's not this case. We're talking about the Menendez brothers. And the judge called it stupid. And honestly, that might be the most accurate legal description anyone's used in the decades-long saga. Eric and Lyle Menendez, who have been in prison for the last 29 years, mind you, for killing their parents, just had their shot at a new sentencing. And guess what happened? Delayed again. This time, because no one could agree on whether they're allowed to look at a report they already have. You know, bureaucracy. Let's go all the way back to 1989. If you are just playing along with this story, the Menendez brothers walked into their parents' Beverly Hills mansion and shot Jose Menendez and Kitty Menendez to death. It was brutal, no question. But what came next split the country back then. And keep in mind, this is pre-social media, pre-cell phone, pre-texting. You watched television. And yeah. I don't even think court TV was not around, I don't believe, yet. OJ is what really started that up. So this was more like nightly news and what you read in the newspaper. But it was the talk of the country for that period in time. The prosecution said it was a cold-blooded, calculated murder for inheritance. The defense said it was a self-defense after a lifetime of sexual abuse at the hands of their father. The jury went with the prosecution. And then in 1996, both brothers were sentenced to life without parole. By 96, court TV was around, so yes, they were covering it at that point in time. Because they started with OJ. And court TV was a thing by that point. Now, decades later, the conversation has shifted. The state of California, under Governor Gavin Newsom's guidance, has been looking more closely at long-term sentences, rehabilitation, and second chances. And that's where the Menendez brothers come back into focus. Former LA DA George Gascon, before getting pushed out of office or just not winning the election, had asked for their sentences to be reconsidered, recommending they get 50 years with the possibility of parole. Mark Garagos, the brother's longtime attorney, is swinging for the fences. He's now asking for a reduction in manslaughter. And if the judge agrees, that would mean Eric and Lyle walk out of prison pretty much immediately. But first, everyone needs to agree on how to handle the risk assessment report ordered by the governor's office. You'd think that would be straightforward. It's not. The prosecution claims they need more time because they only have part of the report that's been released. The defense hasn't seen the full thing either. The judge, Michael Jessic, hasn't seen it either. And he was clearly done with the nonsense. Prosecution is what's been holding on to this. The DA is actually the one that's been holding on to this. The DA who doesn't want them to be released. So he's playing games, is basically what's going on now. He doesn't like what Gascon did, and his supporters are like, no, they shouldn't leave. So he's trying to basically block it in any way that he can and not let the process move forward as it legally should. Because, sorry, some of these decisions are made before you, and you can't just go back and say, I don't like that. Well, great, but you can't, like, stack the deck either. He says, I need clarification from the governor's office. This is the judge said, Jessic, in the court on Thursday. This is stupid, he also said. Still, prosecutors insisted that the parts they have seen are enough to put the whole thing on pause. They filed a motion to delay so everyone could review what they call a crucial piece of the puzzle, how dangerous the brothers might be if released. They were never dangerous to begin with. You know, unless you like repeatedly rape and molest someone through most of their childhood, those people aren't necessarily, you know, targeting others. And clearly they finished their goal of getting rid of the predator and the enabler. And that's what they were. That's what Jose and Kitty were. As much as, oh, Kitty, poor Kitty. Well, you know, you sit by the guy that you realize is, you know, raping your kids. you're just as guilty. I don't care how nice of a woman you are, this or that. If you get that information and you're still like, meh, well, I like this lifestyle more than my kids
and
being
by
raped.
By your man.
Yeah, no. I'm glad they're both dead. According to Deputy DA Habib Balin, if the report exists that evaluates their potential for violence, it has to be considered. Okay, but these guys haven't had any sort of violent history in prison either. They've actually been very stand up, mentoring, schooling, helping other people in groups. There's been no issues with them. On the other side, Garagos went scorched earth. He slammed DA Nathan Hochman for holding a press conference where he referenced the report. Garagos now wants Hochman off the case altogether, saying he's compromised the process. Hochman, for what it's worth, has made it clear he does not support resentencing. So yeah, tensions are a little bit high. The governor's office later clarified that the risk assessment wasn't meant to stand alone. It's part of a broader review ahead of the June parole hearing. They also said that both the defense and the prosecution already had access to what's been shared, and they noted they're happy to send it to the judge if he wants it. In the meantime, the brothers, they sat quietly watching the hearing from a video feed from their prison near San Diego, dressed in blue, emotionless, probably wondering what fresh bureaucratic hell that they were about to be trapped in next. And the whole thing, it's been a stop and start process. The original resentencing hearing was set for January, got postponed because of the wildfires in L.A. and a last-minute attempt by prosecutors to pull back their own request. The latest delay pushes things again, with now the next court date scheduled for May 9th. Outside the courtroom, interest in the case hasn't faded. Netflix Monsters, the Lyle and Eric Menendez story, and a follow-up docuseries reignited public fascination. Journalists flooded the courthouse. Reporters elbowed for spots inside. It's the same media frenzy that followed this case for decades. And in things inside, things got messy again. Garagos and Brian Friedman, the attorney representing the Menendez relatives, blasted prosecutors for showing graphic crime scene photos in a prior hearing without warning the family. Friedman called it harassment. Balin apologized, but added that Eric and Lyle were the ones who caused the scene in those photos, not him. Why are we showing the photos again, other than for shock value and to... Another, you know, it's a shame they don't have pictures of Jose raping the kids. Could they show those too? And then you can decide, who's the bad guy here? Jose with his head blown off or Jose alive raping kids? I'm going to go
back down. They didn't have that capability to take photos.
No, I'm just saying like, okay, if we're going to go like apples to apples here and who's worse? The guys who decided to blow the head off of their rapist father or the rapist father? Whose side are you on? Another point of contention, the DA's office now controls the victim services branch of the court. Garagos and Friedman say they've heard crickets from them. No contact, no coordination, not even a heads up. It's worth noting that nearly all surviving members of the Menendez family have publicly forgiven the brothers. They want them released. They believe in their rehabilitation. Prosecutors forever say the brothers have never come clean. They point to lies told at the trial about the abuse, about what really happened that night, and say the Menendez brothers haven't taken full responsibility. Hochman's office has openly said they don't believe the abuse happened at all. Well, that's because you're idiots. You're very lucky if you were not abused as a child, and you can't conceive of what that does to people. Maybe it should happen to you. So where does this leave everything? Well, it's on pause. Again, the next hearing is set for May 9th, assuming someone can get the right version of the report to the judge, and everyone decides to read the same set of pages this time. You wouldn't think it would be that complicated, but it is.
So here's what's really bothering me, and I'm speaking from kind of personal experience. And I say this, I'm tap dancing a little bit here. So I think, and I don't know for sure, but I think in my family, there was some really gross abuse. Mm-hmm. My dad was a horrible piece of shit. Mm-hmm. He was physically abusive to me and mentally abusive, but he never crossed over into sexually abusive. Mm-hmm. Now, I've got a brother who went off the fucking deep end.
Yeah.
I think he was sexually abused.
Yeah.
This brother is a habitual liar. Mm-hmm. Like his version of reality is so sick and twisted. I can't tell what's real and what's not. Like mm-hmm. when he looks up at the sky and sees a cloud, I see a cloud. I don't know what he sees.
Yeah.
Because he is so skewed and mm-hmm. and just, I think when you've sustained years of abuse, you fabricate a new reality.
Yeah, you do.
And I think you have a really hard time adjusting and seeing reality for what it is. I think mm-hmm. it's really difficult. And if you haven't done the work to try to figure out how to not see things that way, and these guys, I don't know if they've been given counseling, but fessed up to the crime?
They did. They fessed. And look, did they have little details here and there that they lied about? Were they excited about getting the money? And yeah, they certainly were. But at the same point, look at the conditions they were in. Look at what life was like mentally for them. And the place most people go with this is they were rich, spoiled kids. Why? Because most people aren't rich. And most people don't have what they had. But because they had those physical things, they somehow in their minds just write off, well, they're rich, spoiled kids. Like, yeah, it doesn't matter what you physically have or monetarily have if your dad's fucking you.
They had the trinkets. They had the fun toys that everybody wants to have.
Just because,
people buy lottery tickets because they want that stuff.
So just because you're jealous of someone else's wealth doesn't mean that you can say kids that are being raped by their father don't count.
Right.
Of course it counts. But people get too caught up in their jealousy, and then people want to position themselves and posture themselves as pointing at somebody who's bad. And those guys happen to be the ones that people wanted to point at back then.
And I mean, would it be great to have that kind of wealth? Of course it would.
Sure.
But also, because they have that kind of wealth, the family has a lot of power.
Yeah.
That's the way at least the United States works. Mm-hmm. I don't know about other countries, but I can speak for the United States that if you are wealthy, you do wield some power mm-hmm. in this country. Money talks.
Yeah.
So they were a little bit, well, maybe a lot, held back from reporting mom and dad because guess what? They know everybody. Do you think they would have been believed if they said that our dad is doing horrific things to us and mom knows about it?
And if your dad is a maniacal narcissist and he's capable of a lot of things, including your life of ending it, I think Jose Menendez would have had his children killed if he knew that they were going to out him, because Jose was about Jose, and that was it. And when you're a maniacal narcissist like that, I mean, it's you don't even have to be like that extreme. You can look at other characters who will stop at nothing to make sure their narrative of reality is what everyone else believes. And oftentimes it's not. It's not remotely what reality is. But once that crack happens, you know, I believe them. I think that they knew that they were easily on the chopping block if they were to ever speak out about any of this.
Yep.
And they did. And yeah.
They never would have been believed. They were male.
They weren't believed
they were
back
part
then.
Of a wealthy family.
Yeah.
A very influential, famous family.
And look,
they would not have been believed.
In 1989, boys didn't come out and talk about this. Period.
No.
They didn't. I know it seems crazy. And it wasn't that long ago in the grand scheme of things. But it was a different world. In terms of what was accepted and believed. I mean, it just wasn't talked about, period.
Mm-mm.
It was not.
No,
and it's not like it wasn't a thing. It was, you know, carte blanche, you know, predator grounds at that point in time for anybody that wanted to diddle little boys because they were never going to get caught. They're never, the kids aren't going to speak up. And if they do, the parents, out of their own shame, aren't going to go after anybody. And why at that moment in time? Because everyone was afraid of gay, and being raped by someone of your same sex doesn't make you gay. It doesn't make your kids gay. It does, but that was one of the big things back then too. It was like, well, if they're gay, then they must be predator. Like, it was used in the same sort of like vernacular where people were looking at gay people as like predators. It's like, that's not how that fucking works, you morons. No more than you're a predator for being straight. But
we've come so far, we've got so far yet to go, it looks like. But it's, how are these two men a threat to society?
They're not.
They're not. There are so many other people that we should be way more afraid of that are out of prison.
They're an easy pawn for the new DA to make it look like he's doing something because it's low hanging fruit. People are talking about it on a huge basis, and it makes him look good to all of the people who don't have the ability to critically think about anything. And the folks who are like very much, let's keep them away. They're not the deepest thinkers. In most cases, there's some I gather where they have some in-depth and they have their opinions on the case. Okay. But most people are not. They're just not on this. And that's why they're still sitting in prison 30 years later. So,
well, and even the family is saying, let them out. If anything, the family should be able to come forward and say two things. Number one, no, I don't ever want them out for what they did. Or I believe their story, and I think they've served their time. Let them go.
Yeah. I completely agree.
There's nobody fighting with them saying these are dangerous predators. They need to stay in prison.
I agree. What do you guys think? Tell us in the comments on YouTube. Love to see that. Press subscribe wherever you're getting podcasts. Or if you're listening to the podcast, check out our YouTube channel, Hitting Killers with Tony Bruschi. You'll find plenty of ways to comment on the cases that we have going on over there. And if you're on YouTube, hey, be sure to press subscribe if you have not done so yet. And also check out our podcast channel so you can listen to all this stuff as you go about your day. At the car, at the beach, at work. A better variety of true crime.
I knew you were going there.
Yep. Yeah. For your work day. Well, there you go. That's the latest on Menendez. We'll keep you updated.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.